Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we have sung your word which reminds us that indeed that you do watch over us, that you do indeed take care. For Lord, you are not like the gods of the nations who are made of wood and stone, but you are the living and true God who is ever watchful, ever by our right hand, and that, Lord, you will indeed watch over our coming and going both now and forevermore. We pray that, Lord, as we come before you, that you would enable us, your servants, to walk more and more in the grace that we have been given. That we would celebrate more and more of what you have done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to look indeed forward to that eternal rest that has been secured for us. Where we will indeed join with the saints of old and unite in endless praise to you. Heavenly Father, that is our hope that we praise you for. For you, the living and true God, has not left us in our sins, but through the blood that flowed through Emmanuel's veins, that was shed for us, that we are redeemed. Heavenly Father, we know that because of our sin, there is nowhere we can hide. Hide from you, the ever watchful God, the one who does not slumber nor sleep, the one who sees that which is unseen by anyone else, the one who knows our inner thoughts. And while we have the name Christian and seek to bring you glory, we often debase the name that we have been given. We come with a reverence. We come filled with ingratitude. We have a love that is for you that is dulled by life. We are inconvenienced by your word and embarrassed because it calls us to live in a different way. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive us through the blood that was shed, through Christ Jesus, who took the wrath that we deserve. And Father, grant us indeed the assurance that through him who came to die for us, that we experience your grace, your mercy that we don't deserve. And that we have indeed assurance because our sins have been forgiven by his atoning work for us. So Lord, help us this day to know that wonderful assurance that by faith that we have been saved. And as we come to your word, that nothing I may say or do, add or take away from it, but that all the glory may be given to you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray this. Lead all of us to say, pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read from verse 8. Through to verse 19. This is God's word. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that had foundation, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful to who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land of which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who has received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. We're thinking about this passage, and we'll sing in a moment or two, but in three ways. Faith of Abraham was seen in obedience. Faith gives a heavenly hope. And faith means withholding nothing from God. But now, for all of us, there's one thing that's certain. There are very few certainties in what lies ahead. You know, if you've read the devotions, though, maybe you have a fair idea where the sermon's going. But what I mean is uncertainties about life. Certainties about what tomorrow is going to bring, or certainties about what the next day is going to bring, or next month, or what about a year from now, or say 10 years from now? The future for all of us is actually quite unknown. And for some of you, I know that you're what's called planners. Do any of you know what that is? You're a planner. You're one of those people that likes to have everything sorted out for the next 6 weeks. You've got the meal plan already on the wall. You know that Monday night's going to be lasagna. Tuesday night's going to be pie. Whatever else it may be. And you've got all your socks planned out on your wee spreadsheet with different colour combinations because you like to be organised. Whereas then there are other people who can cope with the lack of uncertainty much more easily because they're happy just to go with the flow. After all, the future is unknown and sure, you know, let's just take it as it comes. As we come to Abraham today, he's probably one of the best known biblical figures other than Christ Jesus, of course. One of the best known biblical figures who's called by God to come and to follow him. And he is one that had to live without any certainties at all about what tomorrow would bring. But yet, he didn't live his life preoccupied with what that would entail. Instead, he was focused on something far, far better, which Hebrews reminds us about. As something far better that each and every one who believes in Christ can look forward to. And while part of me would love to spend some weeks going through the life and story of Abraham, that's for another time. We're instead going to look through these verses in one big chunk and try to cover them all. We're going to pass over Sarah, who's mentioned in verse 11 and 12, not because Sarah is not important. In fact, she's hugely important to the narrative, which is why I printed off the little sheet, because it was also by faith Sarah. It wasn't just Abraham who had faith. It was Sarah also, and we'll think about her next week. But as we come to this passage once more, as we come to Hebrews chapter 11, it gives us a wonderful picture of what faith looks like. But the message of Hebrews isn't be like those listed here. It's not be like Abraham. Rather, the message is to look to God in faith. Because as we read there in Genesis chapter 12, it didn't take long after Abraham was called, or Abraham at that stage, before he made a horlix of it all. In fact, there were lots of horlixes that Abraham made in his life. But yet he trusted in Christ Jesus. So here, what Paul is trying to do in this passage is he's trying to encourage the believers to whom he wrote to. He's trying to encourage us here today with uncertainties about what tomorrow will bring, with uncertainties of what the future will look like, that even in the midst of it all, we can be confident that God is working out his purposes. Abraham was one who, not knowing what the future would hold by faith, went. And he is with the Lord in eternity right now. So first of all, we see that in Abraham, we see faith that is seen in obedience. Faith is seen in obedience. And that's something that it matters for all of us. From there, Abraham, we learn the nature of faith. So whenever Abraham, and if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was called by God. He's given a wonderful promise. Before, he was with his father and his kindred, traveling along towards the Negev. For some reason, they stopped and they paused there. But then we have this call of God on Abraham's life, or Abraham. And he is someone who has seen to respond to the word of God. He has faith that is seen in obedience. He hears and he obeys the word of God. Faith that is seen in obedience. Now that shouldn't be too surprising to us, to equate faith and obedience together. You know, seeing that in someone's life, whenever they come to faith, it should result in obedience, responding to the word of God. Those who hear and obey. But it also can be really hard for each and every one of us to hear what God has called us to do and to obey. But ultimately, that's what God calls us to hear his word, to respond to it and obey it. And that's what God called Abraham to do. He called him and he went. See, I keep mentioning that Hebrews 11, which is often the heroes of the faith, is not be like, rather it is trust in the promises of God. And I'll say it again and again and again because Genesis chapter 12 that we read, Abraham had been called by God and it's wonderful, and then all of a sudden he meets a little problem. And what does Abraham do? When the rubber hits the road, Abraham goes, I know what I'll do. I'll go to a different country. The first time of testing, Abraham went and he did it himself. Abraham went from Canaan to Egypt when there was a famine in the land. See, in Genesis chapter 12, there's no seeking of the Lord by Abraham. He doesn't look to the Lord in the midst of it all. He just gets on with it, and he tries to pass off Sarah as his sister. And most of the reasons why he could have done this are reasonable. But ultimately, what Abraham was trying to do was by anyone who was interested in his sister, he would have been able to say no to the suitors, except for to Pharaoh. The problem was that Abraham feared for his life from Pharaoh more than he feared God. And out of all the fear, what we learn is that Abraham did it in his own strength, he did it in his own way, he did it without God. And in the end, whenever God had promised that Abraham would be a blessing to the nations, we learn that Abraham had actually become a curse. Because rather than blessing Egypt, Abraham had become a curse to the nation of Egypt. Abraham took the easy way out. It's very easy for all of us to take the easy way out, to put our own wisdom into practice, to trust on our own knowledge, to trust on what we want and think that we'll manage to get it all right. But Abraham learned the hard way. God's ways are better than our ways. And the good news is that Abraham, well, he had learned from his mistakes, but if you know the story of Abraham, you know that he repeated the exact same mistake over and over and over again. In fact, he passed off his wife, Sarah, to Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20 as his sister. A few things that account in Genesis chapter 12 reminds us of is that, well, Egypt suffered because of Abraham. We may not like to acknowledge it, but this society has suffered because the church's failure to live as God requires of us, as individuals and as a whole people. See, our failure is often seen in a lack or desire to keep God's moral law and not loving our neighbour the way that we should. And so often we are no different as a church in hallowing marriage. We're no different than the world around us. And yet, in spite of this, there is a wonderful reminder in the life of Abraham. Because even though Abraham made a horlicks of it on more than one occasion, God still used him. God still kept his promises to him. That's not an excuse for us to leave here today and decide, well, we can live whatever way we want, because God will still keep his promises to us. We can still trust in God. But it is a reminder that God's plans are fulfilled in spite of our own failures. You know, looking around here, there's not one of us who can say that we've never made a mess of it and never made a horlicks of it. Whenever we've known what we should do and we've done something else, we hear God's word say one thing and we've done something else. But isn't it good that it's not based on what we've done, It's based on what Christ has done. It's God's faithfulness that matters, not our faithfulness. We're called to obedience, and that's seen in faith, but ultimately what matters most of all is what God has done. And also, before Abraham left Egypt, he faced the consequences of his sin. Now, so often whenever we think, we'll pray to God and God will save us from the consequences, but it doesn't work like that. Abraham's eternal security wasn't in doubt. But Abraham still faced the consequences time and time again in his life for not obeying the word of God. And whether we want to admit it or not, we can often face the consequences for our sin in this life. See, the reason why I wanted to take you through that chapter, and if you took time this week to read through that passage of Genesis, is that Hebrews isn't telling us to be like Abraham. Instead, it's telling us, trust in the Christ that they look to. Trust in the promises of God. Because Abraham's indiscretions actually look quite tame to some of the ones that we'll hear later in Hebrews 11. But it was by faith, nonetheless, that Abraham was saved. Through the highs and lows, what mattered was faith. He didn't have a wee spreadsheet with the colour-coded rectangles. He didn't plan for what was coming tomorrow. He had to instead trust in what God had called him to. The trust. But what we learn from this, and if you've got that passage there in Hebrews in front of you, we're told something wonderful. Because in the midst of it, we're told what Abraham's hope was in the midst of it all. Because Abraham was looking forward to something even better. Because whenever he arrived in Canaan, even after he arrived back from Exodus, he didn't start building a city to live in, nor did he go like Lot and live in a city which worked out so well for Lot. No, Abraham lived as a promised land as a sojourner. And the reason why? Hebrews 11 verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham, in the beginning, had been given a wonderful promise that all related to the size of his inheritance, of the people he would leave, how he would bless the people of the earth. But Abraham's focus wasn't on any of these things. It was on the future destination, not an earthly destination, not on what he would attain or accumulate. He knew that he was just a sojourner in his life. He knew that ultimately, like all of us here, that we are but passing through. The promised land was not Abraham's final destination. He understood the wonders of God's great promises to him. Of that heavenly city. See, that's what we look forward to today through Christ Jesus. That's what we look forward to. That city whose builder and foundations are built, it's built by God. You know the grand total of the promised land that Abraham received in his lifetime? It was his tomb where he was buried. Abraham had flocks, he had servants, he had wealth, but he lived as one without a place to call home because he lived by faith. He knew that it wasn't about where he lived, it wasn't about what he owned that mattered. It was all about what God was going to do through Christ. You know, how many of us live like this? Because we may not want to hear, but there's an application that we often miss. Our lives here are temporary. We are strangers and aliens in this world. This world is not our home. And what matters more than what we attain or what we accumulate in this lifetime is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And by faith, instead of what we have whenever we're here, we should be looking and longing for what we will receive there. Let's stop building our own little kingdoms here and now, but let's look to build the Lord's kingdom. I'll tell you a wee story before I move on. It's about a story about a funeral. Because it was a fellow who I knew and who had met, and it's a sad story because it was a man who, on one level, from people out there looking at him, had achieved everything. In fact, he was a piper. He was one of those men that played in world band competitions, and everybody knew his name because he was so skilled in it. He had taught others to play the pipes, and he had a collection of bagpipes that were beautiful and unique, and you marvel at because you're like, where did he even get that kind of thing? His funeral was absolutely bunged with people from all over the world who came because they wanted to pay their respects. But before he died, he realized that all of it was worthless, because he had failed to live looking to that city whose foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He had attained much in this life, but had left nothing of eternal value for anyone else. See, for all of us, faith should give a heavenly hope. Okay, Abraham and Sarah were those who exemplify not receiving what God had promised them. Think about it. Abraham has received the inheritance of nations, how the whole world will be blessed through him. Innumerable offspring, but they spend their entire lives looking for an heir that these promises would be passed on to. They look forward. Others too, like Abel, Jonah, Abel, Noah, Jacob, and Isaac, all of these were looking to someone else. They didn't receive the fullness of the promises that God gave them. Some of them lived in tents, but they were effectively all exiles. They were living on the earth as travelers, moving from one place to another. But yet in the midst of it all, they understood the promises of God speak of what is beyond this life. They understood that we were waiting for what lies ahead. Their hope was not here. Their hope was in what lies ahead. Philippians chapter 3 reminds us that for all of us, our citizenship, if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. See, that was the hope of Abraham. He looked forward to that hope in Christ Jesus. That how we are citizens, not of this country or this earth or this place, but we are citizens of that heavenly city. This is the first promise that we are given from Genesis chapter 3:15. The promise where the serpent crusher would come. See, Abraham understood the promise. He was fixing his eyes upon what lay ahead. And so often it was hard for him, and he made failures along the way. He made a mess of it. But he focused on what was to come. And we're reminded of that wonderful hope. That hope that we have. And we should long for it more and more, because so often we have fractured relationships. We face toil every day. Our bodies age and decay. We have aches and pains. We should be those who are longing for what lies ahead, for there is something better yet to come. A better country, a heavenly one, where death will be no more, whether we know we're crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. Think of how good that heavenly country will be when our gracious God still blesses us in this life more than we deserve. Before we move on, though, consider what heaven is like. See, so often people have the view that's portrayed in Tom and Jerry. You remember those Tom and Jerry cartoons? I remember watching them on VHS and, you know, recorded off the telly by my granddad. And, you know, you have this heavenly city, which is clouds and big pearly gates and, you know, angels with their harps and, you know, white robes and all of that. But actually, what we believe, what the scripture teaches, is that after Christ's return, the heavens and the earth will be restored to their pre-fall glory. And the church, God's people, will dwell with their God. We will dwell in the new heavens and the new earth. We won't be floating around as spirits with no body. You see, whenever Christ returns, he will raise us to life, and we will dwell in heaven as body and soul reunited forever. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Abraham believed it too. That is our hope. And then in verse 17 to 19, faith means withholding nothing from God. See, what God called Abraham to do is a scenario that none of us can truly comprehend. There's a son that had been promised, that they had to wait 25 years for, that they were living and looking forward to. And it's a son that in whom all the fulfillment of God's promises was attached to. And the Lord, in the midst of that, asks Abraham to do something staggering. Something that seems to defy rational explanation. And yet God calls Abraham to go forward and to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And what we learn is what we read in Genesis chapter 22, is that God, or Abraham, takes his son, his only son, his beloved son, and by faith Abraham is about to offer his son's life. And the reason why, if you've got Hebrews in front of you, verse 19. See, Abraham, in doing this, he considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. See, Abraham had faith that the God of the universe, the God of Christ, the God who of the hope of the promise of Genesis 3:15, he had hope in this God, that this God could bring this son back from the dead. God had been pointing Abraham to what he would do. How much you understand, I don't know, but yet ultimately, Isaac points to what the Lord himself did do through his son. Because the Lord God did not withhold his only begotten son, but yet him gave him over. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Abraham receiving his son back from death typifies Christ's resurrection on the cross. God was at work throughout the life of Abraham. And God is at work in our lives, even whenever we think those things are hard, and we think that we have coincidences, but ultimately God is using those things for his purposes. A few things before we, as we think, draw to a close. Abraham was tested by God. Faith means withholding nothing from God. And while testing is something that we all like to try to avoid at every stage of our lives, ultimately it is whenever we are tested that we learn and grow in the midst of it all. You know, we may not like the idea of God testing us. It sits uneasy with us. We don't like that idea of God. We want a loving God who's more like a cosmic therapist who encourages us and protects us, who doesn't demand anything from us, who doesn't challenge us, who doesn't judge us, but ultimately God tests each and every one of his children in order, as the book of James reminds us, to develop perseverance, and so that perseverance may finish its work so that we would be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Testing proves the worth of something. And even though that we don't enjoy trials or testing, and ultimately the good news is that God is using them for his purpose, even though we try to shy away from them. Another thing, each and every one of us here, we're trying to hold on to things, aren't we? We're trying to build our lives around, whether it's our families or our friends or work or hobbies or possessions. Whatever it may be, there are times that God calls us to give these things over to him. He says, let go. And there are things that we may not want to let go of, but we need to. But also take note and take heart that Abraham failed previously whenever he was tested. There'll be times that we'll fail whenever God tests us. In the Christian walk, we'll make failures at times, and we'll have our times have successes, but the wonderful news is that God doesn't simply discard us, nor is he finished with us. We should have faith and trust in Him. God is a God who is good. You see, what we have in Hebrews 11 is a wonderful picture of what faith looks like. See, none's more than the life of Abraham. He's an example of faith, but the message is not be like him. The message is to look to God and to trust in Christ Jesus. And we're called to have a faith that is seen in obedience, a faith that has a heavenly hope, a faith that means withholding nothing from God. And knowing that should give us security, because what matters is not the here and now, it is the promises of God in Christ Jesus. For our salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Our future is secure through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Stand with me as we pray together. Heavenly Father, once more we come as we are reminded from your word that what we need to do is to look ultimately to you. For salvation comes through faith alone in Christ alone, and Abraham was a man who lived by faith. Even though, Lord, he made a horlicks of it at times, he failed along the way on more than one occasion. Heavenly Father, it was you that he looked to. And because of Christ, his eternal home was secure. Father, we believe in the same promises, the same Saviour, and help us to look forward to that heavenly hope that we have all through Christ Jesus, in the midst of our fractured relationships, the toil that we face, in the midst of our aging bodies, longing for that better country, that heavenly one where death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain, when these things have passed away. And in this time, Lord, we bring our prayers of intercession before you. For we know there are many who hear, but do not hear or do not listen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be at work by your word and spirit and those whom we know and love. That, Lord, indeed they may have faith, and it may be by faith that they too would receive their commendation by you. And for a world where wicked men seem to use their power and strength for the glory, we pray that you would be at work through your people. It is the nation's rage that we may be able to give a better hope than this world has to offer. Father, transform hearts. Add many to the kingdom that they may be trophies of your grace. We pray for those who have been cut to the heart by your word, that you would help them to know that it's truth, to respond to, to repent and believe. For those whom we know are struggling, who do not know what tomorrow will bring, who live in much more uncertain times than we do, help them to know the hope that there is in Christ. We pray for that you would be at work both north and south in this land, in the situation that our government's facing for uncertainty. For those who are feeling the effects of age. For those who are going into respite and for battling loneliness and illness. Heavenly Father, that it may be Christ that is the hope. The hope that they know, the hope that we proclaim. And that, Lord God, that ultimately, that they may have a hope in that heavenly home. Father, as we prepare to go out from here, help us to know that we go as your people, and that you are indeed working through us, even in our failures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Join together to sing our closing hymn, "Because He Lives and He is Lord." bread be with you all, this day and forevermore. Amen.